Hi, my name is Tony. I am a shy and introverted kid, and I created this podcast with some help and encouragement from my dad. The goal is for me to break out of my shell and become more comfortable with people. It's important to be a good listener, but also to be heard when you have something to say. Hi, my name is Tony, and welcome to the 10th episode of my podcast. Today, my special guest is Kirsty Ball. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Well, thank you.
Let's get started. Where were you born?
I was born in a town called Eye, as in E-Y-E, in Suffolk, in England.
What was it like in England?
What was it like in England? Oh my goodness. How long do you have? very different to here. The weather is very different. It's very grey and cloudy, kind of similar to Vancouver, I've been told, although I've not been to Vancouver. Very lush. But very, very busy. It's a very small place. You can drive from the top to the bottom of England in about 7 hours. And here, I think if you drove for 7 hours, you might just be in another province if you were lucky. So it's a very small place compared to here and very, very, very busy. So very, very different.
What was your first job?
My first job was doing a paper round when I was about 13.
Do you have any hobbies?
I do, but my hobbies are also my job. They're things that I love doing. I turned my hobbies into my job, into my career, because I didn't want to work anymore doing things that I didn't like doing. So I thought if I could do something that I love and get paid for it, that would be great. So my main hobby is photography, and that's my job as well. And I also like to do hairdressing, and that's now become my job as well. But I like to paint. I like to do photo shoots. I like to draw. I like to sing. And I like to write. So they're probably things I enjoy doing, yeah.
What kind of pictures do you take?
People, predominantly. Yeah, people.
Have you painted anything?
Have I painted anything? You mean like artistically, like a picture, or like my house?
artistically.
Yes, I painted lots of things. Yeah, I can't remember the last thing I painted. I might have painted something for my kids, actually.
You said you were a hairstylist. How long have you been a hairstylist?
Well, that's a good question. I started doing hair about a year and a half ago, actually. I went back to school to go and study hair. So I've been doing it for about a year and a half. I now work in hair, so I work in a salon, and I've been there for about 6 months.
What's the craziest hairstyle you've ever done?
The craziest hairstyle? I'm not sure. I don't know what you'd call crazy. This weekend, I guess, I just did my daughter Ruby's hair, and she wanted to be bright pink. She wanted to have mermaid hair, so I just did her some crazy pink hair. And then my other daughter, Sadie, her friend came over, and she wanted purple hair, and she wanted it shaved underneath and in a funky hairstyle. So I suppose that was kind of crazy.
Going back to photography, how long have you been a photographer?
That would tell you my age, probably. So, about 25 years. Been doing it a long time.
What types of people do you take pictures of?
Well, it depends. My favorite kind of photography is doing things that are creative. So something that's like to do with fashion or entertainment, that kind of thing. But I would rather work with everyday, when I say everyday people, instead of like models and things. So I love doing fashion, but people that are professional models kind of know what to do, and they're doing a job and they're not very interesting. What I actually like to do is to take regular people who aren't used to being in front of the camera and getting them to do something that's completely out of their comfort zone and making them feel like a model or making them feel great. So so I like to do lots of like makeovers and hair pictures. I also have a corporate photography business, so I take lots of pictures of business people and pictures for their websites and for magazines and so forth. So yeah, lots of very, very varied. Used to be when I was in England, lots of entertainment, so like models, singers, actors, dancers, and here in Calgary there isn't really that much going on here. So it's mainly corporate work, and then obviously some people want pictures of their babies and their kids and their partners and their families and things like that. So anything but people, for sure.
What type of camera do you have?
I have a Canon 5D something. I'm really not technical. That's such a man question. Men always want to know like the technical details, and I have no idea. I just know that when I bought it, I looked it up and figured out what I needed. I bought it, and after that, I don't care. I just use it.
You said you're from Britain, so what's your favorite part about it?
My favorite part about it? For me, you know what? Probably the culture, because it's very diverse. I do find that here in Canada, most people are just from Canada, or they're from Saskatchewan. Whereas in England, they're from everywhere. They're from all over Europe. So there's lots of, if you know what I mean by diverse, but there's lots of different cultures. So there's lots of different foods. There's lots of different flavors. There's accents. There's, because we're in Europe, we have a lot of imports. Like here in Canada, we don't import an awful lot of things from different countries. It just tends to come from the US, or it's Canadian. We're very proud of the fact that it's Canadian, which is wonderful, but we don't get to see lots of different things. So clothes are really different. Music is really different. There's lots of, things are just more interesting. Like I find Canada very, and not in a bad way, but I find it very vanilla. Do you know what I mean by vanilla?
Yeah,
it's kind of boring. It's not like different flavors. It's just one flavor. But England has lots of flavor. There's so much going on. There's so many different things you can learn about and experience. So I do miss that. That's like my favorite thing about England. And the other thing is that you can drive for maybe 4 hours and you would be in a completely different country. Like I could drive to Germany. With a different language, different people, different culture, different food, different everything. Whereas here, if I drive for 4 hours, I'm kind of what, just past Edmonton? I have the same stores, the same landscape, everything's the same. So here it's huge and vast. It has its own beauty for sure, but I do miss the fact that there's lots of different things going on. It's interesting. You will never get bored there.
You said you like to sing, so what are your favorite songs to sing?
I don't know. I don't have, don't really have favorite songs to sing. I just enjoy singing. When I was younger in England, I used to sing in a band. I used to gig. I used to record music. I was a recording artist, so... it's kind of like dance music, like from nightclubs, like house music, that kind of thing. So I used to record tracks doing that. And it was fun. I loved it. I haven't done that for a really long time. So now I guess I just like to sing in the car and annoy my children. We have a karaoke machine at home. I'm not trying to be a pop star anymore. I used to when I was younger. But I just like singing, like music.
What got you into singing?
Good question. I don't know what got me into singing. You know, I think I don't know, maybe you sing in the shower. I like to sing sometimes, you know, you like music. And I think I used to work in a restaurant And I used to sing, and people used to say, "Oh, you've got a really good voice." And I was like, "Yeah, right." And they said, "No, you have got a really good voice." And then we used to have a microphone at work that we used to use to announce to customers that their table was ready. So you'd call out, you'd say, "Hi, Mr. Smith, your table for two is ready." And then at the end of the night, when all the customers had gone, we would all be really stupid and play on the microphone and do stupid impressions and sing songs and things. And so I would impersonate singers that we'd have playing. And I guess it just started from there. I was just being stupid, and people actually thought it was quite good. So, yeah, it was my party piece. And then I had a friend in the restaurant whose dad was a recording a producer. And she said, "You should come to my house sometime. We should record in the studio." And so I did that. And then he said, "Actually, really good. Like, why don't you put a demo together?" And I did put a demo together, and he helped me with that. And then I sent it out just for a laugh. And yeah, and then I got a recording contract. So it was just weird. I wasn't like really famous or anything, but yeah, just fun.
And that's a really interesting story. I've heard that you've been studying something called NLP. Could you say more about that?
Oh, is that something that you're interested in?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you know about NLP?
Nothing.
So why are you interested in
I've heard it's like mind control.
it? Well, that's interesting for everyone, right? Would you like to control people's minds?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So it's not really. It can be if it's used, it can be clever. I'll explain it to you. So neuro is, well, what do you think that's to do with? Neuro is to do with
The brain.
the brain. Perfect. Okay, so neuro is the brain. Linguistic would be to do with, do you know?
No.
Link. Okay, so linguistic meaning languages. Okay, so neuro the brain, linguistic speaking. So the brain, the way we speak. But yeah, and then programming is a program, so it's a pattern, right? So neuro, so brain, language, patterns. And so basically, in a nutshell, it's the study of excellence. So if I do something really, really well and you wanted to be able to replicate it, you could look at what it is that I'm like. Let's imagine something that I let's think of something that you can't do at this present time. I don't know. Do you know how to bake a cake?
No.
No? Okay. So let's say I bake these amazing muffins, and you're like, "Oh, Kirsty, these are the best muffins I've ever had in my life. How on earth do I bake these?" Now, if I said to you, "Well, here's the recipe. If you follow the recipe exactly, you'll be able to make those cakes." So you follow the recipe exactly, and you look at your cakes, and they're different to mine, and they taste different. And you're like, "Well, how can that be? Because we use the same recipe, we use the same pattern programming." But what I might say is, but when you were mixing the batter, you didn't do it like I did it. Because when I was doing it, I was thinking that these are going to be the best cakes in the entire universe. And I was thinking this and I was thinking that. And that made me mix them in a different way. And you were just stirring them really, really fast and not really caring what you were doing. So that might have affected the way I was mixing them and the consistency and so on, right? And I might have also said, "Well, I don't talk when I'm baking. I'm concentrating on what I'm doing." And when you were doing it, you were chatting to everyone, you're on your phone, and you weren't concentrating. So you weren't taking notice of the fact that I only did this for like 1 minute exactly, and you did it for 2 minutes. And there's the difference. There's the variance, so that at the end we had a different result because we did something different. So if you were to do exactly what I did, you would could technically get exactly the same result. So if I was a champion hurdler and you're like, "I got no idea, I'm a crap runner," or, "I can't jump," or whatever, I could teach you to be a champion hurdler if you were to think exactly what I thought. If you were to say what I said and do what I do in exactly the same way, you would be able to replicate and get the same results. So ultimately, that's what NLP is. It's the study of what we're thinking, what we're saying, what we're doing, and being able to change things because of that. So if you're someone that struggles with, let's see, what's something that you're really good at right now? What do you know that you're really good at? Or something you really enjoy?
building with Lego.
Building with Lego. Okay, see, I'm crap at that, right? But you're really good at it. All right, so think of something that you feel like you're not very good at. Like maybe you stuck out or it was boring to you. You're like, eh, whatever. Can you think of something like that?
Math.
Math, all right. I hate math as well. So imagine if you take what you do when you build Lego and you come up with some masterpiece that you made. Imagine if you applied the same thinking and the same confidence and the same creativity that you have with Lego, and you took that, like if I said to you, okay, when you're building something with Lego, what are you thinking? Where are you when you build with Lego? Like, are you sitting behind a desk at school, or are you sitting in your room and you got some snacks, you've got your music on, like you're in the zone, you know? Like, think about what it is that you do when you build Lego. What makes you really creative and what makes you enjoy it and want to keep doing it and come up with all these great ideas, right? So you're in this zone where everything's brilliant, and then you're really proud of what you built, and you kind of like feel really confident. You're like, hey, look what I made. This is kick-ass, you know? Like, that's totally like the zone. And then you think about what you're like when you're at school and you do math, right? And I don't know what you're thinking, but I can guarantee it's not that. Right? You're not in the same place. Maybe you've got a boring teacher. Maybe you don't like the room you're in. You're having to write stuff down. You'd rather be thinking about what you're going to do when you get home. You're hungry. You're bored. So if you look at how you're doing those two things, there's no surprise that you hate math and you love Lego, because Lego incorporates all the things that you love. But if you were to write down what all those things were and then you apply it to math, you'll probably find math a lot more fun and you'll probably have a lot more success with it. So what you can do with NLP is take things that you're not very good at and take things that you are really good at, break it down and look at, what is it that makes me good at this? What am I thinking? What am I feeling? What am I doing? Write those things down and then you apply it to the thing you're not so good at or the thing that you don't like. And then you start to change your results and you start to get better results. And so that's how you can use NLP. It's a very vast subject. I could probably talk about this for like 3 hours. I won't. But it's really, really fun. And it's just like the most awesome thing ever. And when you start to recognize, it's about the language that you use, the words that you use, and it's about the actions that you do. And you start to realize that people process information differently. So if I was to ask you a bunch of questions, depending on how you answer, I'll be able to tell how you process information. And then I can go, okay, so Tony's, I know I'm visual. Everything to me is about like the words that I might use. I might say, look, do you see what I mean? I look and see, visual, right? So I would say that, but you might say, yeah, I get it. I hear what you're saying. Yeah, that makes sense. Makes sense is a, or is a, something that you do in your brain. It's a story you're telling yourself. It makes sense, you know, or I hear you, that's auditory. And that's something I'm really bad at. I'm not good at things like that. But if I know you are, and I'm trying to communicate with you, pointless me talking in visual terms, because you're not open to that because you're an auditory person, auditory digital. But if I speak in your language, using your words, you will find it easy to get on with me. We'll have a rapport and you'll think I'm on your wavelength, because I'm using your language. So that's how, when you were saying about, is it mind control? It can be, in terms of, if you understand what you're doing with it and you recognize how other people do things, you can switch how you do them to make them feel comfortable. And it's actually something you'd find incredibly powerful, especially with what you're doing right now. When you're interviewing people, it's really, really fascinating. I could teach you a whole bunch of just really quick little tricks that would help you with this, so. I'm really passionate about this, you can tell. Sorry, my alarm's good.
That's really cool. I've also heard about something called Mindscape. Could you say what that is?
I don't even know how to explain that. I would say that it is a form of... I don't even know how to explain it. Mindscape. It's a way of thinking so that you, it's a way to access your unconscious mind. So when you're consciously thinking about what you're saying, you're thinking about the words you use, when you're trying to figure out a problem or the answer to something, you are thinking very hard about what it is that you're trying to solve or say. Mindscape is a way, you know how sometimes you might say to me, oh, I was just about to tell you something and it's just, I can't remember what I was going to say. Yeah, or maybe you go up to your room to get something and you get there and you stand there and you're like, what the hell did I just come upstairs for? And then you kind of like go back down again. And then just when you stop thinking about it, you're like, oh, I remember what it was. You done that before?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's your unconscious mind jumping in. So consciously you're thinking, I've got to do this. I need to do that. And you're trying to think and you kind of get lumbered down with so many things that you actually kind of forget what it was. And the minute you switch off, your unconscious kicks in and it kind of taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, remember that thing you're supposed to remember? And you're like, oh, yeah. So when you're stressed and like, you know, like you're thinking to yourself, I've got to ask a question. And you're like, you know, you might be like, oh, I can't think of my questions. And you start panicking. That will lock, right? That's your conscious mind trying too hard. So, you know, when you take a deep breath and you go, okay, I'm going to relax. I'm not going to think about this interview because it's like nerve wracking having to think of all these questions. So I'm just going to breathe and I'm going to think about, I don't know, chocolate bars, or I'm going to think about the zombies on my t-shirt or something. When you switch off, suddenly guess what happens? You suddenly think of questions because your unconscious kicks in. And so for me, Mindscape, how to access your unconscious mind. It's how to know how to relax, how to get into it, and how to access parts of your brain that normally you can't because you're too stressed out to do it. So it's a relaxing thing. It allows your mind to wander. It creates creativity and allows you to tap into other things in your brain that are there that you can't always have access to, if that makes sense. That was a long answer, wasn't it?
That's really interesting. I'm going to end the episode here. So thank you, Kirsty, for being here.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
And thank you, audience, for listening. And I will be back again in 2 weeks for another episode.